Into the Bad Quaker Podcast, where liberty is our mission. Today is Thursday, October 24th, 2013. It is podcast number 356 today, and my name is Ben Stone. I'm supposed to be taking some time off to get things ready for winter and get some family issues taken care of and some other things going on. And I just can't seem to be pulled. I can't seem to pull myself away from the podcast. I hope I can ride this wire of getting the things done that I need to get done and still, you know, covering the things that I need to cover. Recently, and you've probably heard about it, if you're a regular listener, you've probably seen other activity about this. Recently, there was the Keene Pumpkin Festival in Keene, New Hampshire, which is just a small town, you know. I know here in Ohio, there's a town called Waynesville, and they have a sauerkraut festival because there are a lot of people of German descent in this area. And it's a really big deal. It's about as big as the Keene Pumpkin Festival, maybe a little bit bigger. The town of Waynesville is probably comparable in size to Keene, New Hampshire. We also have, you know, all across the Midwest and up in the Northeast and down through the South, just town after town has these little harvest festivals of one kind or another. Or you know, they'll happen in the springtime as well. And these are all over America. And in ways, nothing says America better than these small town festivals. Typically speaking, the worst thing that might happen is, you know, there might be a couple people that get drunk and make a fool of themselves. Typically, these are always very peaceful situations. And with the situation there in Keene with the pumpkin festival, there is literally nothing that makes it stand out any different from thousands of others of these all across the country. And yet, for some reason, the thugs in authority feel that it was necessary to send four sniper teams to pose themselves in positions of authority and lord themselves down upon the families in Keene, New Hampshire as a show of brute force to and intimidation specifically to scare people. And that's all it was for. And I can make that case because if they were actually there to protect and to serve, then they wouldn't have been such incompetent buffoons. They would have had some kind of professionalism about them, but they did not. They did not have any professionalism about them. They were there for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to intimidate, and not to intimidate some actual dangerous person, because a dangerous person wouldn't be intimidated by these fools. A dangerous person would just do whatever they were going to do. I mean, imagine it. We have these four, and I'll go into it today. What I did is I interviewed three of the independent journalists that photographed and documented this assault on America. And in just a moment, you're going to hear that interview. But in the meantime, or before that happens, I just wanted to express my anger and my frustration about this. This is an attack on America. That's all that is. It is an absolute attack on America by the goons in Washington, D.C. and other places like that who have usurped authority in this geographic region and dominate, or at least attempt to dominate, the people of America. And it should not be acceptable. It is not acceptable. And like I started to say, if this were actually about safety, then they would not have behaved the way they behaved. If there was actually, let's just create a scenario. Let's say there was some, you know, mad pressure cooker bomber that shows up with an evil backpack of doom. Well, how are they going to distinguish that person from everybody else there? Are they just going to start shooting anybody who has a backpack and looks like they might be, you know, from Russia or Middle East? Or what's the criteria for shooting someone with a sniper rifle in the middle of a pumpkin festival? What's the criteria? What are the shooting orders? And if you don't have shooting orders, why do you have a SWAT team? Or why do you have a sniper team, I should say? Because they weren't SWAT, they weren't even, didn't even have the professionalism of a SWAT team. And that's pretty bad. So what are the firing orders? Under what circumstances can they shoot? You know, how can you distinguish? We think of the Boston Marathon bombing, and we're told, with absolute certainty that the mad bombers were those two, kids from Russia. Now, if that's the case, let's just buy their hokey story and let's just accept what they're saying. If that's the case, how would you have picked them out of the crowd and shot them before they did their deed? Or what would you do when the explosion takes place, then with binoculars, try to pick out who's running away in a suspicious fashion and shoot them? There is no aspect to this that makes any sense from a practical point of view, from a law enforcement point of view, from a military or tactical point of view. There is no excuse whatsoever for this. And if you can detect it, I'm angry. I'm angry because my country has been conquered and taken over by these people, and we should not tolerate it. Okay, so I'm going to cut off there, and I'll go ahead and play the recording of the interview I did with Jason Talley, with Garrett Ian, and with Graham Coulson, three of the four independent journalists who, you know, actually risked their life to document these government goons and their activities. And you say, well, they didn't shoot anybody. How do you know? Why do you say they're goons? Why do you, it doesn't matter. If a person comes up to you in a threatening fashion and is obviously attempting to intimidate you through things like, you know, displaying weaponry and bravado and this type of activity, it doesn't matter if they actually punch you in the nose or not. It doesn't matter if they actually shoot you or not. They're still goons. And that's what those four teams in Keene, New Hampshire were. And whoever sent them there, whoever authorized that, should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity, because that kind of thing should not be tolerated anywhere, much less in small town America. Okay, so here's the interview with no further ado, as they say.
They have the videos of the actual.
Hello?
Hey, this is Ben Stone.
Hey, Ben. Stand by. Let me get these guys set up here.
And, let's go ahead and just everybody introduce themselves. I'm Ben Stone with Bad Quaker Podcast. Jason, go for it.
Yeah, my name is Jason Talley with the Spirit of Arcadia at spiritofarcadia.org and tally.tv.
And this is Garrett Ian of freeconquered.org, also blog on freekeen.com. And youtube.com/aquakeen is where people can check out my media and videos.
And this is Graham Coulson of Robin Hood of Keene. I don't have much of a web presence, but.
First off, I want to start by thanking Graham for the great work with Robin Hood of Keene. I talk about that quite often. And that's one of the most impressive things I've seen in the Liberty Movement in a really long time.
Thanks, Ben.
I appreciate that. Well,
yeah, they're all great activists. Garrett, of course, is involved. And then James Cleveland is a big part of the Robin Hood also. He was involved in the reporting, but he's not able to join us today. The reporting of the sniper in the Pumpkin Fest, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can see some pictures of James and Graham over at freekeen.com.
And we should let the listeners know that that's kind of the purpose of our talk tonight, is that the traditional Pumpkin Fest in Keene, New Hampshire, that's well recognized nationwide as a family event, as a fun thing. It's this year, I think they set a record for the number of jack-o'-lanterns that were all lit simultaneously or whatever. And so Correct. It's a really fun family thing that the town of Keene has been doing for years and years and years. And for some strange reason, four teams?
Yes. I believe it was four.
Four teams of snipers appeared on the roofs. These were not uniformed individuals, and they were clearly showing an intimidating presence. And you guys, well, in the case of Graham, it kind of appears to me as though you risked life and limb to go up and get some shots of him. I shouldn't say shots. I should say pictures.
You're right.
Yeah, I had to be hoisted up this ladder, climb up there, pull a camera out. I realized after I took the film of it that my camera wasn't very good quality, so I climbed back down, got another camera, got hoisted back up, and somehow throughout all of this, they never turned around and saw me.
This is a good time to voice the lack of professionalism that I saw in that, because, you know, if these guys were really there for security purposes, A, nobody should have seen them. B, they shouldn't have been so unaware that people could come up from behind and point things at them. I mean, this just shows from a tactical point of view, these guys are bozos. They have no idea what they're doing. They don't make anybody any safer. And then the other thing that just strikes me in a deep level of anger is, what would happen? Now, I'm very qualified with a rifle. And what would happen if I would just decide for me and one of my buddies to climb to the top of the roof of one of those buildings and start checking people out with spotter scopes? I mean, that wouldn't float, but yet.
No, of course not. You would be in civilian clothes just like these people were. What would be the difference?
Yeah.
And the thing is, it seemed everyone, there was a lot of talk on the ground of, who are those men up there? Are they snipers? That people that weren't associated with us are just hearing these conversations. You can probably hear them in the videos I've uploaded at Freeman TV Raw. And the thing is that the only people that seemed to be acting like police was the one group that did have police insignia. They were actually keeping a sort of lower cover, but it was still easy to see that there were little profiles of heads up on rooftops.
Yeah, and by police, they were wearing knit caps. Two gentlemen were wearing knit caps that just read police on it. That's really the only police insignia that we saw of the people that were on the rooftops. Other people were wearing hats, one with a Boston Red Sox cap.
Some were just assuming that these were police because there were people up there looking at everyone. They must be police.
That's a really scary thought, though, to just be that that bowing to authority, to just assume. I mean, that's scary on so many different levels.
I just don't understand how that's bowing to authority, though. These are people wearing civilian clothes like the rest of us. I mean, why are we supposed to assume that people on rooftops are some type of authority figure?
That's a good point, yeah.
Also, I wanted to say, we're extrapolating that there were four sniper teams based on one photo of the two men. We didn't obviously get photos of each of the sniper teams behind them. But Garrett followed up with about 20 questions for the Keene Police Department, which we don't have answers to yet. They were just delivered yesterday. So we hope to get a lot more answers to these questions. He and I went around talking to first responders, law enforcement officials, and this is a follow-up post that you can read on freekeene.com. But nobody... The state troopers had no idea that there were snipers on the roof, and the Keene Police Department pretty much just refused to talk to us. James and Garrett had to go to the Keene Police Department station to ask the whoever was on duty for communications.
Stephen Tenney was the, I believe, lieutenant on duty.
Thanks. And finally, this person confirmed that, yes, the people pictured on the website were law enforcement people.
They didn't clarify what station they were from or which department, just the people on your website are police.
Yeah, I think he said law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
Which is a vague term that could mean Homeland Security, it could mean FBI, it could mean, you know, somebody they hired yesterday. I mean, it's of no, that means nothing.
I think it, yeah, but it tells me that they weren't military. That's it, yeah.
Hopefully that's the case, yeah.
Well, yeah, hopefully, but I mean, I think there's a distinction between what's law enforcement and what's military. And so based on the brief information that we have, you know, these people are in some type of law enforcement capacity. I'm interested to know if they were federal law enforcement myself or local, state.
And who paid the tab?
Then again, I'm thinking back to the Boston Marathon incident, and there was a large group of guys walking around, with backpacks and specific hats and radios in their ears and this kind of thing. And it was never fully released that I know of officially who those guys were. But I wonder if somebody had walked up and asked a cop, if the cop would have said, oh, yeah, they're law enforcement, even though it's been rumored that they were private security.
That's interesting. I think our digging into this case might reveal who those people in Boston were, because they seem to have a similar vibe. Do you guys get that sense?
Graham, did one officer make a comment to you or maybe James about it, since Boston, this is what goes on now, or something along those lines?
Yeah, myself and James Cleveland were talking to, I believe he was from the Swansea Police Department, because later that night at Pumpkin Fest, they had hired out cops from surrounding towns to be security, and we were talking to a member of the Swansea Police, and he told us basically what Garrett just said. Well, you know, ever since the Boston bombing, that's just the way things are going to be from now on at events like this.
Wow.
I did a scan of the media prior to Pumpkin Fest and even after, and I saw no indication of warning people that these folks would be on the roof. So they really wanted it to be low key, and they probably didn't like our headlines talking about the Pumpkin Fest snipers. But I would think that if there's suspicious people on rooftops, that you would want to, you know, make it clear that, you know, these people are acting in an official capacity.
Yeah, I looked around a little bit on the Sentinels, that's a local Keene newspaper, and I couldn't find any indication at all of snipers on roofs.
Right. I just saw some comments on various sites where people were asking, were there really snipers there? But mainstream media has pretty much ignored it for whatever reason. I think it's newsworthy. I mean, when the three of us, Graham, Garrett, myself, and also James and some other people showed up to Pumpkin Fest, that's one of the first things that we noticed, and you know, that's when we started doing our reporting.
And it really worries me, you know. Even I'm as my listeners know, I'm an anarchist. I will say that right out in the open. I realize that's a word that a lot of people prefer to shy away from for a variety of really good reasons. But as an anarchist, I look at a situation like this and I think, now, from a police chief point of view, or from a person who believes that the state is a good thing, I can kind of understand why people want higher levels of security. I realize in my mind that they're flawed in their thinking, but I can understand why they think that way. But then when I look at the behavior here, of no uniform, no indication in any way. I mean, it just looks to me like some thugs up, you know, that are showing intimidation, and that could be, potentially some crazy guys that decide, you know, some wild militia group or something like this. It could have been that just as easy. Mm-hmm. And, it seems from a tactical point of view, from a status point of view, this is a bad idea on every level. I don't see a good, outcome of this.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me how they could have protected from a bombing or a crazy guy. I mean, what are they going to do? Open fire into a crowd of thousands of people? There were 6-year-olds walking around. There was parents. I mean, it would have been so easy to misfire in that crowd.
Well, the one thing I think of that would be the practical purpose of actually having snipers somewhere, if there was, you know, some crazed shooter or something that needed to be taken out. But of course, the concern is raised on the ground, shooting a rifle into a crowded atmosphere like that, even with a trained sniper. It's just the concentration of people makes it impossible to be casualty free. The only thing I could think of that a sniper might actually, you know, protect or provide safety against would be another sniper, being able to, you know, take out wherever their location is if it's not visible to people on the ground. So
now that's a really good point. Except let's just assume, you know, that let's say that I'm the crazed bad guy sniper. Let's say just, and we have no indication of this, of the scenario that I'm going to create, but let's say that somehow there was a rumor that there might be a crazed, psychopathic bad Quaker sniper that's going to show up there and do something horrible. The first thing I would do as the crazed bad Quaker sniper is I would disguise myself. I would hide. I would be in a position where I had a good view, but nobody could see me. And then when I'd see the other guys standing up at almost like full attention on roofs, they would be my first targets.
Yes, and that's why I'm thinking the police, why didn't they want to hide this in some sense, or at least obscure it? It seems they tried to, with the idea of just putting the rifle below the lip line of the rooftop. But I had been at an Obama event in Manchester last year, and of course when the president's in town, that's another time snipers are set up on rooftops. And this wasn't in Keene, it was in Manchester. But I did, from the ground, was able to get a video shot of a rifle being lifted up and just positioned. And of course, it was the whole time obscured by the roof of the lip top there. But at least those police or Secret Service were wearing police gear, and it was clear that that's what they were there for. But in this scenario, I joked with some people and said, maybe Obama's going to show up, and that's why there's snipers here. But Obama never showed up, and no celebrities were there that I'm aware of. And for some reason, this event, which is, as you said, primarily a family event, there wasn't, I'm aware of, any sort of safety concern or threat. In fact, I asked that in my questions of Mr. Russo, whether or not there was some threat that was made to Pumpkin Fest that the public's not aware of. Now that it's after the fact, I think that they should be able to reveal that if there actually was one.
Well, if it's an event that I'm going to attend and anybody knows about a threat to the event, I would like to know about it so I can inform my decision before I attend. You know, but they, if there was a threat, they didn't share it with the public, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would definitely want to know about the threat too, because I wouldn't trust bozos like these. I realize you guys probably have to control your language a little bit in your reference to them having to live there and deal with all this. But to me, you know, I just see these as goons and bozos, and I see them as thugs, and I see it as a show of strength. And, you know, I can't imagine it anything other than that. And it just totally pisses me off to no end.
Well, on the other side of that, there is one point in the video where I was directly underneath them, and I was filming my friend James, who was pointing at them in the frame. And at one point, the one person I believe to be the sniper, because he wasn't handling any of the equipment, he was just looking through binoculars, flashed a peace sign and waved. So, you know, at least they had some amount of humanity about them, being people that are positioned above you, you know, a couple dozen hundred feet with weapons.
Yeah, I don't like to engage in enemy imagery. I don't want to question their motives. I can question their tactics, though, and I think that's what we're doing with our reporting. You know, they probably went out to, yes, collect a paycheck, but, you know, probably also to help keep people safe. But I think with Graham being able to get a photo right behind them, and, you know, it could have been somebody that has a violent disposition that could have, you know, taken them from behind and grabbed their sniper rifle and used it. So, I mean, those are the kind of questions that I want to bring up and build awareness for.
I'm thinking in the past, it's possible that at Pumpkin Fest that they have had snipers in, let's say, apartment buildings. How hard would it be for a police officer to just be looking out of a window to oversee the event? And who's going to question that? I mean, most that'll happen is we get some photos, a video of somebody looking out a window. And in that sense, there wouldn't be the image of these snipers being there, but just the fact that people would be standing on rooftops watching, and especially wearing civilian clothing, is, I think, it's unprecedented. It's kind of like a shocking security escalation, and I don't think it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a native to New Hampshire, and I've been attending Pumpkin Fest since I was 5 years old, at least, if not earlier. And there is, as far as I know, never been a situation that required a sniper or any kind of extra security.
Also, there's nothing really unusual about the Pumpkin Fest in the sense that, you know, all over, especially the Northeast and across the Midwest and in the South as well, there are these little towns have something that is unique about them. You know, it might be a Pumpkin Fest. It might be a Strawberry Festival. There's a big Sauerkraut Festival that's near where I am. There's a lot of German people of German descent in this area. And so the Sauerkraut Festival is a big deal here. There's several Oktoberfests that are big deals around here. And we don't see that kind of thing. We've gone to several different things like that, and we're not seeing that kind of a show of strength
yet.
But it makes me kind of wonder, and this is maybe a controversial topic a little bit, but there's been, you know, with Keen specifically, there was the introduction of the totally unnecessary Bearcat, and then the talk in Manchester of another Bearcat coming into New
Concord.
Hampshire. Oh, that was in Concord, yeah.
And Manchester's had one for a while now.
And bringing the Free State Project into it, they were trying to defend themselves in saying, because the accusation was there that they were a terrorist organization, or at least a threat of some kind. And the Free State Project was trying to make a statement that they were not a threat of any kind. And in the middle of that, we have individuals who have made statements that could have been taken in a threatening manner, specifically naming Keen by name. And I can't help but to wonder if, you know, again, putting back on my statist, you know, sheriff's hat or chief of police hat or whatever, thinking, well, if somebody did do something and the local population said, wait a minute, you knew that there was some guy on the internet that was talking about killing people and you didn't bring in snipers? So I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to be an apologetic for the statists and the way that they think, but in a sense, is that too way off to even consider that as a possibility?
These are things that I've been pondering myself, and I have been working on a campaign to increase the transparency and peacefulness of the Free State Project. I think in the past they have sent mixed messages by having the author of When Should We Shoot Cops, you know, Larkin Rose, at their official events and things. And I think that can give police a justification for their escalation, and like you said.
Yeah, and I should mention, you know, I like Larkin Rose. I know him and he's a good guy and everything like that, but still, you know, from a status point of view, a person that I detest even thinking of myself as a, you know, chief of police or something, but they have to justify their job. And if anything had happened, even something minor, that the local residents could have said, well, you know, well, you should have known there was a threat. And that's kind of the way statists think. They run to the government constantly for whatever the answer is to whatever the problem might be. And a chief of police would think, well, my career might be on the line over this one thing. So it's always, they always think on the overkill. If a slap on the face is good, they would rather punch you in the nose. And if the punch in the nose is good, they'd rather tase you. And if the tase will do the job, then they'd rather shoot you. I mean, it just seems like that. I don't know that it's intentional, but it seems like that there's always an overkill on the part of authority. So I can kind of empathize that maybe that's, if I can make some kind of apology for the chief of police or whoever made this choice, you know, that's the best I can do to empathize for their situation.
But we're dealing with limited to no information, and I don't think that the snipers were there because of Free Staters or
Larkin Rose
or yeah, a non-Free Stater. Yeah, but you weren't, Ben, you weren't talking about Larkin Rose. I'm the one that brought him up. You were talking about somebody else.
Yeah, just to be a really smart aleck jerk here, I'm talking about a guy who, if you mention his name, he expects you to contact him and let him know so that he can immediately call you names no matter what the context of what you said. But that's just, I'm just saying that because, you know, the guy just disgusts me and I prefer not to even deal with him. But that's sure. Just me. I'm in a position where I can
know who you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Having been the subject of his blog just, I believe yesterday or today, maybe, I forget when it started off. I've seen, yeah, he's got a thread on Facebook going of all his fans. And, you know, it's great that Cantwell thought it was worth advertising or publicizing that there are places in Keene where people would prefer he not be. But, you know, that was his decision. You know, the people who made that decision did so in a private manner. So, you know, it's interesting. He also often calls attention to himself. And I think, you know, this is a little bit more of that. And the attention isn't always positive. So it's important that people are responsible for the words that they speak and the messages that they send. And, you know, I don't feel it needs much more comment than that unless you really want to go into that.
That was a good way of putting it. So let's get back to the actual climbing up on the I didn't know that it took two trips up there to get that photograph.
Yeah, and it wasn't initially a photograph. The picture on the internet was actually a screenshot of the video I took.
Yeah, pretty shaky video. Mm-hmm. And that's because it had to be zoomed in and there was ladders involved and two armed men in front of them. So, but even though the video is shaky, we were able to capture a screenshot and post it online.
I wonder in a future situation, and you know, the more we can plan things out when emotions and fear and danger is not in our face, the better off we're going to be. But I wonder in a future situation if a team could be readied for something like this and to literally wait outside the building until they come down and then surround them with cameras and begin questioning them. Who do you work for? What's your authority? Why are you here with a gun? I don't know that would be positive or not. but maybe some kind of an action team like that for incidences similar to this.
Myself and James actually intended to do that, and then we went back to the Keene Activist Center to upload video, and by the time we came back, the snipers were gone.
Yeah, I would have loved to have been got a chance to ambush interview the snipers as they were exiting the building. I think there was a chilling effect to snipers being there. As they were there, I really didn't feel comfortable asking law enforcement, or at least it wasn't my first instinct to go and ask law enforcement about what was going on. I was just asking people around me, like, what was their perspective, what they thought. Some people were asking me because they saw me filming the snipers. And after nighttime came and it seemed that there were no more people on the roofs, I got a lot of video as I was going around for Keene Peaceful Streets asking questions of law enforcers, mostly state police, who claimed absolutely no knowledge of the fact that there had been snipers, and thought I was very observant and seemed legitimately surprised to have heard snipers involved. But I felt much safer asking law enforcement about who the people were on the rooftops when those people weren't up there.
Let's try to leave this on a positive note. We've only got a couple more minutes left. Let's go back to the Robin Hood of Keene activities, because like I said in the beginning, this really warms my heart when I see that. It's the type of activism that, sure, some people are going to somehow be offended by it, but you're going to have that from, I mean, there are probably people that are offended by butterflies, but you know, the essence of what's happening here is that activists are going ahead of the authorities that are there to fine people and saving them fines on their cars for parking by putting money in the meters and dropping a little note on their windshield to say, hey, we saved you a fine on your meter. And this has raised a lot of anger in the city of Keene over that. Why don't you guys kick that around a little bit and give my listeners a little bit better explanation of what you guys do?
Well, Robin Hooding is still going strong, of course, despite the lawsuit that was pending. It's, of course, the brakes have never been put on. It's still been going as strong as ever, I'd say. You know, we've got a few people that are volunteering and picking up the morning shifts when I'm usually sleeping, making sure people have meters filled. And I'll usually hit up the afternoons. Graham's usually out in the early afternoons or so. And it'll be getting cold soon. Won't be able to bike around as much. But we're expecting a positive outcome from the judge within the next week. Well, there's no telling when the judge will submit his ruling, but I'm expecting maybe within a week or a few weeks. And we've had 3 days of evidentiary hearings. I think they all went great. Stuff that I thought was things that didn't need to get brought out that I think were miscommunications, you know, didn't get brought out in the suit. I feel that everybody's kind of on a much more positive footing than they were when the thing was filed. So we'll see what happens from here. It's possible that if the city loses the suit, they'll still appeal it and we'll go to the Supreme Court perhaps.
Before we break off, let's give some shout outs to websites again. Jason, go ahead and tell the folks how they can find you.
Sure. I focus on independence and peace in the Atlantic Northeast at spiritofarcadia.org.
And you can find my website at freeconquered.org. I post all of my raw video, which is hours and hours of content from all different sorts of events, at Freeman TV Raw, which is youtube.com/FR33MANTVRAW. My edited content's on Freeconquered TV, which is a YouTube channel, and also Aqua Keene, which stands for Aqua Keene Parking Force, which is a locally produced cable access show, airs on Cheshire TV, as well as the internet, youtube.com/AquaKeene.
And as I said at the beginning of the show, I don't have a huge amount of web presence, but you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/FreeTheAgora.
And Graham's hosted a few episodes of AKPF number one as well. Check those out.
I have.
And we should thank Ian Freeman for letting us use the LRN studios. And you can get over to lrn.fm, and there's all kinds of great programming there as well. Guys, thanks a lot for coming on badquaker.com.
And thanks for having us on.
I really appreciate the work you guys do. Yeah.
Good back at you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Peace.
Peace.
And that was my interview with three of the four brave journalists that risk life and limb to take pictures and videos of the sniper teams there invading Keene, New Hampshire. Folks, thanks for listening today. Be sure and get over to badquaker.com, where liberty is our mission. Thank you very much, folks.